We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. And this is Avenue Craig inviting you to stay with us. We do thank the Lord for life spared to this another broadcast time, and we're certainly thankful that you are tuned our way, and we're trusting that the Lord will make our broadcast service a blessing to each one of you in our congregation today. Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for the love of God that brought Jesus into this world to be our Savior. And we're thankful that through your love, you have taken us out of that horrible pit and from the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock. Father, we thank you for the privilege of broadcasting your gospel. Thankful for our precious congregation today. We're trusting that wherever this broadcast is heard, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and make it a blessing to each and to every heart and life. We pray for those who stand in need of your help, whether it be physical or spiritual, for we know that you love everyone, you're concerned for everyone, and we're asking you to minister to them. We also pray for your blessings and your help as we endeavor to present the gospel on today's broadcast. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to again invite you to visit our webpage. There are a number of our broadcasts there that you can download and listen to anytime, 24 hours a day. You'll also find a number of issues of our monthly Way of Truth magazine. And our webpage address is www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. From the Cayman Islands, dear brethren, it is such a blessing to be able to listen to the sermons on the web. It gives one greater access to the beautiful messages sent from God. I cannot express how much listening in today has done for me. It has encouraged me to continue to press the battle on. May the good Lord continue to bless you as you continue in your efforts to spread the gospel. Looking forward to hearing the services on the web as soon as they become available. God bless you. And from the country of India, I am listening to the Way of Truth broadcast at www.wayoftruth.org. I am also impressed by the Way of Truth website. It has made it possible for us to download and listen more often. I would like to thank you, everyone, for the numerous good works you and your associated brethren are doing. We appreciate these emails, and we're thankful for those who are getting our broadcast over the web. And if you are, why not let us know?
Shackled by a heavy burden, need the Lord of guilt and shame. Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that flooded my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and all the joy that flooded my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made
On our broadcast today, our subject is entitled, The Good News, A Look at the Golden Text. And of course, our text is John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, very familiar verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I would like for you to look at it again with me on the broadcast today. The good news is universal in its scope. I've said before on the broadcast, I'll say again, I do not believe in the false doctrine of predestination. I do not believe that God predetermined before he made the world that only certain ones would be saved and all the rest would be lost. And I think the passage of Scripture that we have before us today adequately proves that the good news is indeed universal in scope. Consider the word whosoever. That does not sound like a limited few. Whosoever, yes, whosoever will may come and drink of the waters of life freely. And also consider the word world. Now, this is not talking about the literal earth on which we live, the ground, the trees, the rivers, the lakes. It's talking about the world of people. And again, it's not talking about a select few. It's talking about the entirety of the family of man. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Let us consider the encounters Jesus had in the first several chapters of this book of St. John. The gospel is wide enough to include one and all. First of all, a religious leader. Here in John 3, we find a man by the name of Nicodemus coming to Jesus. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious man. Yes, he was a religious leader, as a matter of fact. But the gospel is broad enough, was broad enough, for to take him in also. And Jesus told him what he needed. You must be born again. Nicodemus didn't seem to comprehend what he was talking about, but he did know that Jesus was a teacher come from God, and he was attentive to what Jesus said to him. And I am persuaded, as we read on later, how he helped take Jesus down off the cross and put him in the tomb, I'm persuaded that Nicodemus accepted what Jesus said to him, and he experienced the new birth. So the gospel is broad enough even for religious people who have only a mere profession but do not have salvation. The gospel offers to them real and true salvation, deliverance from sin, deliverance from false religion, deliverance from a mere form of godliness while denying the power thereof. So the gospel includes religious leaders as well as everyone else. It includes a morally wounded woman. We read about this woman in John 8. She was caught, according to what those men that brought her to Jesus said, she was caught in the very act of adultery. So she was indeed morally wounded. She was a sinner, yes, indeed. But the gospel was broad enough, the love of God was great enough to include this woman also. For Jesus did not condemn her to die, but I am persuaded that he forgave her, for he told her to go and sin no more. And she could not have obeyed that instruction without an experience of salvation. So the gospel is broad enough for those who are morally wounded. Not just this one woman we read about in John 8, but everyone throughout the world. It is not God's will, of course, for people to live that kind of a life. But if they will come to him, he will indeed forgive them because of the love of God and because of the supreme sacrifice of the Son of God. It also is broad enough to take care of the healing of the body. We read about how Jesus came back into Cana of Galilee, where he had first turned water into wine, and there was a nobleman that came from Capernaum, and his son was sick, and he desired that his son be healed. And Jesus told him to go because his son was made well. Yes, we read about this in John chapter 4, and I'll read verses from 46. John 4, beginning with verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Now the secret there is the fact that the nobleman believed what Jesus told him when he said, Thy son liveth, go thy way. He believed him, and he went his way, and he heard the good news that his son was indeed healed. The gospel also included a lame man, a man there at the pool of Bethsaida, where there were various ones, and Jesus went into him. There he lay on his cot, or pallet, we might say, and Jesus told him to rise up and walk, and he had never done that before. But Jesus told him to do it, and he did it, because he obeyed the word of the Master. He obeyed the one who brought the gospel, not only the gospel of salvation, but the gospel of healing. The gospel also took in 5,000 hungry men, besides women and children. Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes and fed them. We read about this in chapter 6 of St. John. And after they had fed that great multitude, they took up more than they had to begin with. It also included an array of enemies. As you read chapter 7, 8, and 10, you find those who came to pick and to find fault and to criticize. But Jesus was ready and willing to minister to them as well as to all others if they would but accept what he had to say. It also included a blind man, a man born blind. And it had never been heard in the history of man that one who was born blind was made to see. But Jesus told him, Go and wash in the pool. And in obedience to Christ's command, he doubtless had somebody to lead him. And he went to the pool and he washed. And the Bible says he came seeing. Yes, his eyes were open. He had never been able to see in all of his life. What a blessing eyesight is. And this man had never been able to see from his birth. But Jesus Christ, through the power of the gospel, through the power of the working of the Spirit, gave him his sight for the first time in all of his life. It also took care of a grieving family. Mary and Martha were greatly saddened by the death of their brother Lazarus. And they had sent word to Jesus, thinking, desiring that he would come and heal their brother. But he tarried, and he had a purpose for doing that. You know, the Lord always has a purpose in what he does. And he tarried, and Lazarus died. But Jesus came, and whenever he arrived there, he told him to roll away the stone. But Master, he's been dead 4 days. By this time he stinketh. Roll away the stone. And in obedience to the words of the Lord, they rolled away the stone, and Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And there he stood at the mouth of the tomb. Loose him. Take those grave clothes off of him. He's not dead. He's alive. So take those grave clothes off of him. What a rejoicing time Mary and Martha had, and doubtless others too. So the gospel is broad enough to take in every need. whether it be physical or spiritual. The good news is warm and appealing. Yes, the good news is warm and it's appealing. You have to have a mighty hard heart not to feel the appeal of the gospel. The warmth is seen in God's love, as recorded in our verse 16 of our text today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see the heart of God as revealed in this passage of Scripture, especially in verse 17. For it says there that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, I mention those who teach predestination and limited redemption. The Scripture says it is not God's will that any should perish. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the good news is warm and it's appealing. But the warmth is not mere sentimental. It's not mere sentiment. No, the verses that surround this passage of Scripture deals with the wrath of God also. He that believeth not is condemned already. Now, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, true. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And that's verses 18 and 19 of John 3. And so the warmth of the gospel is not mere sentiment, but it is real. And also, the other side is real. God's wrath is also real if we do not take advantage of his love and of his compassion and of his willingness to save and forgive. Now, we want this wrath to be restrained as we share the good news with you. We desire for each one to feel and to know that God loves you individually. Yes, God loves you individually. And of course, our desire is that this wrath be restrained so that you might feel that warmth and that appeal of the good news, the gospel of Christ. The good news is available through belief and obedience. Yes, obedience is also necessary, as well as belief. Belief is a key term in John's gospel. Notice these verses of Scripture. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And many other miracles truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. So true belief is necessary as well as obedience. True belief is the commitment of one's life to Christ in unconditional loyalty. Again, John 14 and 23, if a man love me, he will keep my commandments. So to have and to take advantage of this good news, this warm, appealing message, we must obey, and we must believe, and we must believe, and we must obey. Now, the good news is eternal life. Life is also a key term in John's gospel. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. John 17 and 3. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The latter part of our text today, John 3:16. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, or in other words, in the fullest measure. So Jesus Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world, but he came into the world to give his life so that we could have life. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, or in other words, full measure. Life is not the accumulation of material things, nor the storing up of things in this life. That which was lost in the Garden of Eden is regained through Christ. Yes, Adam and Eve lost their spiritual life when they disobeyed Almighty God. But life, spiritual life, is regained through Jesus Christ. He gave his life so that we could have life. Christ's gospel doubtless sounded astonishing to Nicodemus, as it did to many others. But it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So Paul said in Romans 1:16, and to every one in my congregation today, believe, obey, and live. For Christ came and made it possible for you to have life and have it more abundantly, and to have it eternally. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We do trust that the precious Holy Spirit has borne witness to the truth as we've endeavored to bring these scriptures to you. And if our broadcast is a blessing to you, remember, it would be an encouragement to us if you'd let us know. And our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to today's broadcast, and we'd like to invite you to tune in this station next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest in and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.
That I was the only man. I can't help but believe that he died for me, though such love I can't understand. But I believe he'd go to Calvary for me, there to hang to his death on a tree. If I were the only one to redeem, I believe he'd go to Calvary for me. If I held the key to prosperity and the wealth of this world in my hand, I'd give all that I own if these eyes could be shown just a glimpse of his love for this man. But I believe he'd go to Calvary for me, there to hang to his death on a tree. If I Yes, I believe he'd go to Calvary.